Dear Father in heaven, thank you so much that we can read the word and study together. We pray that you please be with us. Help us to know what is your will for our lives and follow that. And now we put this time into your hands. And these things we pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Today I'm going to talk about the 144,000. I did make a PowerPoint, but then I decided that I wasn't going to use it. So I'm just going to read from the Bible, okay? Because there was something else that I actually wanted to talk about too. And so before I start, I just sort of want to put it in context. The 144,000, right, are not engaged in any soul-winning work. They have been, but they are not. Because what do you think determines the 144,000? It's the ceiling. So after the ceiling, that's what defines the 144,000. Because if we look in Revelation, it talks about the tribes of Israel that are sealed. Okay, so that's what actually defines the 144,000 ceiling. So we know that the 144,000 are alive at the second coming. They've passed through the plagues. They've passed through the time of Jacob's trouble. Okay, so what we really want to know is how we can be in their midst. Okay, because Ellen White does say that we should pray, we should strive to be in their midst. And so all the decisions, the actions that we do now will determine whether we're going to be in their midst. Because there's only two groups that are going to be alive at the second coming. That's the 144,000 or the lost. Okay, so definitely we want to be in the midst of the 144,000. And I wanted to compare Matthew 10 and Revelation 7 for this study. Okay, so if we'd like to turn to Matthew 10. And we'll start with verse 1. And this sort of like goes along with what we were talking about in the Sabbath school lesson. Okay, and it starts off, it says that when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the publican, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Lebbaeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. And on to verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go unto the way of the Gentiles, and unto any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So we know that this particular chapter is a dual prophecy, right? It not only is about that time when the disciples were there, but it's also talking about the end time. In fact, it's going right up until the sealing time. Okay, so this chapter is talking about what God's people will be like up to the sealing and past the sealing. Okay, so if we have a think about to the lost, like the message, the lost house of Israel, when we think about the lost house of Israel, who is God's people? Who is the lost house of Israel? It's everyone, right? It's the whole world. The gospel commission is to the world. Like if we have a look in Matthew 28, let's have a look at Matthew 28. 19 and 20, 18 to 20. And this is what it says here. It says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Okay, so the commandment was given to the disciples to spread the gospel to the ends of the world. Okay, and if we have a look back in Matthew 4 and 16 to 19. Actually, we'll start at 14. And it says that, and it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Esaias the prophet, saying, in the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtalim, by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee to the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Okay, so the gospel message was the same then that it is now. The message that was to be taken to not only the Jews but to the Gentiles was the same gospel message, the gospel of the kingdom. And we know that from Revelation 14, 6 and 7, it talks about the last gospel message to the world, doesn't it? Fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment has come, and fear God and worship Him who made the heaven and earth. So that's the last message. And we'll go back over to Matthew 10. And then in verse 7 it says, "It go preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And then after 7, it gives all of the sorts of things that will follow in their ministry. Okay, so it says, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely ye have received, freely give. Okay, so this work that they are engaged in here is preparatory for the sealing. Okay, so in order to be sealed, we must be engaged in this work. If we're not engaged, we can't be sealed, because this is all preparatory for it. And as we read down in Matthew 10, we can see the characteristics of these people who will be sealed. And in 9 it says, it continues on, it goes, provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet stays, for the workman is worthy of his meat. Okay, and it's talking about that in the spreading of the gospel, and especially in the last gospel efforts, that we cannot depend on monetary support. In fact, now we should be asking the Lord, what do you want me to do? Without regard to finances. Because Matthew, it says that we are to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things will be added unto us. So, especially towards the end of time, we know that these are very, important steps. Because if we, at that time, if we start to depend on financial issues, what will happen? We'll receive the mark of the beast, right? Because at that time we can't buy or sell. Okay, so what we're doing now actually is preparing us step by step towards the end time, the sealing. Let's have a look down in 11. We'll just keep reading down. And into whatsoever city or town ye enter, inquire who is in it worthy, and there abide till ye go thence. And when ye come into a house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, then ye depart out of the house or city, shake off the dust off your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in that day of judgment than for that city. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues, that ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what she shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And brother shall deliver up brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents, and cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Okay, so this is basically telling us what's going to be the condition in the last day. Okay, this is before the sealing, actually, because this is talking about giving testimonies, giving people a chance to actually receive that last message. So, you know, we will be brought before councils. We will be asked to give our testimonies regarding our faith. And it goes on in 25 to say that this is to be expected, because this is what Jesus happened to Jesus, and this is what it continues to say. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Fear them not therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in the light, and what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both the soul and the body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father? But the very hairs of your head are numbered. Fear ye not, therefore ye are of more value than many sparrows. And then in 32 it goes on to tell what will happen if we don't bear testimony now. It says that, wherefore, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess unto also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. And verse 34. Think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I am not come to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. For he that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. And he that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. Okay, so this is basically telling us about what we are to do before the sealing, and also it's telling the troubles and the trials that will accompany that work. And so let's have a look now in go over to Revelation. Revelation chapter 7. And we're going to have a look at now the sealing. Okay, in verse 1 it says, after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth or on any tree on the sea, nor any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, And there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. So, when we have a look at, like, if we consider the disciples, okay, the disciples were ordinary people, weren't they? There wasn't anything special with them, but they had a special characteristic. What do you think that characteristic is? That's it. They love to follow Jesus, and also they were overcomers, right? Because in the book of Revelation it says, to he that overcometh. So when we talk about the 12 tribes of Israel, are we really talking about literal tribes? It couldn't be literal, right? Okay, it's got to be spiritual Israel. And if we have a look at, let's have a look at our Romans. Romans chapter 9. And we'll read from verse 25 to 28. As he saith also in OC, I will call them my people which were not my people, and her beloved which were not my beloved, and it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, therefore they shall be called the children of the living God. Esaias also crieth concerning Israel, though the number of the children be the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. So the 144,000 are those people who have been saved from the earth. Okay, so the disciples, you could say the disciples were a symbol of the work that we are to do. Okay, and as those disciples go out and then they spread the message to other people and they become disciples and then they engage in soul-winning work at the end. And so, really the people in the 144,000 are those people who have overcome, you know, their character deficiencies. Because if you have a look at, for example, Reuben, I mean, why would Reuben be included in there, in the tribes? I mean, actually, if we've been talking about the tribes of Israel today, they all apostatized, didn't they, really? Okay? Reuben was the firstborn. He went up into his father's bed. Levi and Simeon, if we have a look in Genesis 49, when Jacob was talking about them, you know, he lists all these particular things that they did. Levi and Simeon, they went in, they killed Shechem, his son. Remember, with Dinah? Okay, because they, Shechem went into Dinah, so they went and slew them. Okay, and Judah. So it's not that these particular people had any special characteristics. Okay, so those people who are included in this 144,000 are those that have not only been engaged in soul-winning work, but they are overcomers. They have overcome their hereditary traits of character, their anger, their animosity, their carnal nature. Those sorts of things that plague our human race today, these people have overcome. And so that's why they're sealed, because we know that the sealing, when the sealing takes place, no more change in character takes place. That's it. Okay, so their characteristics after the sealing are what they were like before the sealing. There's nothing changed in their characters. So when they go through the time of Jacob's trouble, when they're pleading for forgiveness, that their sins have been done, their sins have already been forgiven. It's just this has been their habit of life. This is what they were like before the sealing, and that just continues. It's not that they needed to have any sins forgiven after that period of time, because there can be no sins forgiven after the close of probation, right? Because Jesus already stepped out. So there can be no more redemption after that period. And then I'll read from 5. It says, of the tribe of Judah was sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben was sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad was sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Asher was sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Nephthalim were still 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh were still 12,000. Of the tribe of Simeon were still 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi were still 12,000. Of the tribe of Issachar were still 12,000. Of the tribe of Zebulun were still 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph were still 12,000. Of the tribe of Benjamin were still 12,000. Okay, so we stop here, right? Okay, so we're talking about the ceiling here. Okay, and then in verse 9 it jumps to after the second coming. Okay? After I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and peoples and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. Okay, so this great multitude is not the 144,000, it's a separate group. Okay? It's the redeemed from all ages, that group there. And then in 10 it goes on to say, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshipped, saying, amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? Okay, so now it starts to give a description of the characteristics of the 144,000. And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of the great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Okay, so these people are the ones that have not only been sealed, but they have gone through the last plagues that have hit this earth, like in Revelation, I think it's 6. Okay, and then they've passed through the great tribulation. And also then they also have passed through that period where the death decree has been issued, where the evil say that they're going to wipe out the people of God. So they have stood for God in the midst of a worldwide opposition without a mediator. Okay, so their characters have already been sealed at that point. They can't fail at that point. And in 15 it says, therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple, and sitteth on the throne. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. And I had a look in what Ellen White actually said about that. And she says they will have a special relationship with God, these people. They will be in the temple. And that's because of the special relationship they had going through that last period, that last conflict. They will be so like Jesus. In fact, they'll be a mirror image of Christ. That their lights will be lit up with the glory of God. And then in 15, it says that therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and lead them into the fountains of living water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. So while they won't be completely, while they won't be killed by the plagues, they will be affected by them. God will still provide for their needs, but they still will have to go through that period of time. And in Revelation 14, it continues talking about them. And if we have a look at Revelation 14:1, And this is what it says in 14:1. And I look, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having the Father's name written on their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters, and the voice of great thunder, and I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sang, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders, and no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which are not defiled by with women, for they are virgins, and these are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and unto the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. Okay, so this just tells us about the characteristic of these people, willing to follow God wherever he says, to the ends of the earth, and even willing to give up their lives for him at this particular, going through those periods. And they will actually be present. The 144,000 will be present at the second coming. So they will be, alive then at that time. And in Revelation 12, it talks about how they actually overcome. All right, and that sort of refers back to Matthew 10. And in 10 it says, "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that his time, he hath but a little time." All right, so this is the 144,000, and for us to be a part of that group, we need to be asking God what he wants us to do. Because they are people that follow the Lord wherever he leads. So if we're not doing that now, then we're not preparing for that final sealing, which we would want to be a part of. Because at that time, if we're not sealed, we're lost, and we may not know it. And so this is my message today. It's a simple message. It's mostly from the Bible. But it just is a reminder to us that we need to follow the Lamb all the time, whatever he asks us to do, and especially soul-winning work, because this is how these people overcome the devil. I mean, in the first war in heaven, why would God ask his angels to help him cast the devil's angels out? Because in the gospel it says that he who is not with me is against me. Okay, so if we're not assisting God in the final work of the gospel, spreading the gospel, that means that we're working against the purposes of God. And so he really wants us to be involved. And we need that for character development also, because before the sealing, there's going to be persecution. And, like we read in Matthew 10, we're going to be brought before courts, before people, to give testimony for what we believe. And if at that time we don't have what it takes but if the Holy Spirit is not in us speaking those words out, then we're in trouble, aren't we? So anyway, it's my prayer for all of us that we can earnestly seek what God wants for our life every day, and not only seek it, but follow it out in our lives. So thank you. Dear Father in heaven, we're so thankful that you've given us the Bible, We're so thankful that you've given us this great privilege of spreading the gospel to those who don't have. Please help us in our efforts to spread the gospel, and also we ask that you be with us and help us to put aside all our temporal and earthly pursuits to finish this work so that you can come back. And we pray these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.